This is Jason David Frank, and you're listening to the Geek Cast Radio Network.
You are now on the inside of what I like to call the Circle of Trust. We are all connected in the great circle of life.
You know something, Bert?
What?
I think you and I are going in circles.
It feels like we're going in circles.
Circle is now complete. When I left you, I was but the learner. Now I am the master.
Because it's a circle.
Yeah, we heard about the circle.
Yes, we're familiar with shapes.
Hi, this is Joe.
This is Greg.
And this is Dan. And we are Talking in Circles, brought to you by the Cast Radio Network, a podcast that is the number one pickup off of waiver claims. Today, we are dedicating our episode to the news of the good. If you listen to past episodes, you may have heard us talk about the news of the weird or the strange or wacky news stories. Well, considering that we seem to be living in a hive of negativity as of late when it comes to, you know, the world, we figured we'll be your resource and your for the news of the good things that are actually occurring and happening. Yes, it does actually happen on an occasion. Good news stories do exist. We've combed through the world of the internet, found some of the best ones, and we'll be talking about them in our second segment. Before we get to that...
Hey, Dan.
Yeah.
Keep up the good.
Keep up the good. Keep up the good. Exactly. Keep up the good. How's the week been going for you guys?
Pretty interesting. I did something this week that been wanting to do for quite a few years now, and I know Dan, you have done it in the past, and
cocaine.
I didn't really tell anybody I was going to do this, but I joined a football league, actual real football league.
Nice, yeah.
NFL. You got drafted?
Yes. I'm a running back for the Minnesota Vikings now.
Oh, nice. They needed one.
No, it's a local social sports club league, and they have a touch football league that plays every Monday night, so Monday Night Football. But it was kind of sort of through this this church group that I found out about that these guys kind of put their team together, and I'd been looking to do it for a few years, but I couldn't find enough people to make a team or anything. And I didn't really want to be a free agent because they just kind of place you on a team with random people. So in this case, I was all right, well, I already have an automatic team. So I'm why not? So I joined in. I missed the first week because I was kind of late joining and everything. But I did go this Monday and was able to play in our game. It was at nighttime, so, and they have they have lights there, so it really was Monday Night Football. You're playing under the big lights and everything, which was kind of cool. But our team got absolutely destroyed.
I've been there.
It
too.
It sucked bad. Oh my gosh. And I don't know if it's, well, the thing was half our team didn't show up.
Yeah.
And a couple people were sick, and one guy was hurt, and a few people just didn't show up, so we had to kind of get subs, just random people, random strangers, and so that that didn't help anything. And then I think just me being sort of the new guy too, the quarterback wasn't really familiar with me, so he really didn't even look my way much, which was kind of a little discouraging. But it was a rough night. We got absolutely demolished. That's the worst I've ever lost at anything in my entire life.
Oh,
yeah, it was bad, but had a lot of fun. Had a good run, was soaking wet and everything, so it was a good workout. So,
nice. Is it a co-ed league or is it just all dudes?
Yes, it's a co-ed league. It's pretty much the same rules as yours when you played, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, a girl has to touch the ball every two plays. If not, you have a gender play.
Yeah. Same stuff, which actually I feel those are the most important plays because in my opinion, it's really too congested because it's 8-on-8.
Oh,
so you basically have a quarterback and then you have seven people going out for pass and you have eight people on the defense covering them. And it's just like, it's way too congested to like on this like smaller field to try to like complete passes and stuff. So it's like when you have your gender play and it's, you know, the guys have to stay in the line of scrimmage. Only the girls go out and then the girls cover those girls. And it's like, you know, you have so much more open field. You can see better, you know, they can have more real estate to run and everything. So I feel like those are like the most important plays.
Yeah.
Like if you have like, you know, really good girls on your team that can catch and run and stuff, you could dominate. But yeah, we did not take advantage of that.
Yeah. So that was our strategy too. Like we had really good girls on our team. So we would force those gender plays and it worked out pretty well. So, but yeah, I haven't played. It's been about a year. Just our, a lot of people I played with, they moved away or, you know, have kids, so it's harder to get together. So I want to do it again sometime soon, but it's a good time. Greg, I know you've been sick still. I know you just
Yes, I've still been sick. So and my voice has kind of been affected by it. It's very much a throat thing. It's also connected up into my ears, which is a lot of fun. So don't expect me to talk very, very much during this episode. I know this morning I was calling my insurance company about my ambulance bill that I got from the other week of getting run to the ER by an ambulance. But yeah, so I was talking on the phone with them and my voice was definitely cutting out and doing weird, funky stuff. So.
Real funky stuff. It sounds like, isn't that a Marky Mark rap album or something like that?
No, definitely no Marky Mark involved.
Yeah, interesting. I've had kind of a strange week as well. So actually, it started when I actually podcasted earlier this week because I was on an episode of Incession Film and we were talking about our top three movies about piracy / security or whatever. And
not top five?
Not only top three.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. Gotta come to.
We all know how you love your top fives.
I do love my top fives. And I tolerate my top threes. So that's how it works. But basically, during when I was doing the podcast, Carol, my wife, was sending me snaps, a Snapchat thing of just like funny photos and love different like filters and whatnot. And one of the filters is like the one where you can do with two people, like there's like a, like rabbit ears or something, or I don't know, the one you see everyone do, puppy dog ears or whatever. But when she was doing it, it picks up faces, and it was like picking up a face behind her, like kept picking up face. And wherever she walked, it was like picking up a face that was behind her, which was, you know, whatever glitch or whatever. But
that's creepy.
It is really creepy. It was just kept, like it was like following her around. And so we're kind of making a joke, like as we were talking that the next day about like how that she's obviously being haunted by something. I forget exactly what I said, but right after I said that, suddenly all of like our bathroom, like our sink and toilet started making this really like disturbing gargling sound. And like the thing I kind of like immediately thought of was Ghostbusters 2. You know, the sound like all the like slime would make in the sewer.
Yes.
It sounded just like that. It was so creepy. I'm like, what in the hell just happened? It was so weird. It was, you know, and it was everywhere. It was because they're in our kitchen, in our bathroom. So I'm like, what's going on? It was just like immediately. I'm like, well, that, I don't really believe in ghosts at all, but that even freaked me out a little bit. I'm like, what just happened? Like, I don't know what I just did. I think I need to call the fake Ghostbusters or what have you. But it ended up being some issue with our plumbing. It actually got, it was really weird. I don't know what was going on, but in our one toilet, it like started foaming and like a bunch of like soap and suds came out. Like it legitimately looked like we put like a bubble bath in our toilet. It was just coming out. It was so weird. So it was.
Do you have a paranormal society down there in Baltimore?
Probably do someplace. I gotta find them.
Dan, I kind of had a almost haunting, I guess you would say. I woke up actually last night in the middle of the night because I've been waking up in the middle of the night a lot anymore. And it was like 3 o'clock in the morning or something. And I'm just laying there. And all of a sudden I hear this noise, like a dunk. And it sounded exactly like my drawer opening. And my drawer, I know I had my drawer shut yesterday because I didn't go in there because I usually take my showers and stuff in the morning And so I wouldn't spend the whole night with my drawer open. But I look over and my drawer is open. And my sock drawer is open. And I'm like, okay, that's weird. And I kind of just go on with what I was like, just kind of staring up at the ceiling. Yeah. And then all of a sudden I hear that noise again. And I look over and the drawer is shut.
Weird.
Yeah, so that's the first time anything like that's happened. I'm not sure if it's because of me being sick and all the drugs, if I'm seeing things, if it's the middle of the night and I'm groggy. So I was chalking it up to that. And I'm like, I'm just going to try and fall asleep.
I wasn't going to admit to anything, but since you sound concerned about it, that was actually me taking your Ed McGuinness sketch of Nightcrawler out of your drawer.
Yeah, it's not in that drawer, Chuck. It's actually in my brother's old room, so good luck with that.
I know that now. I couldn't find it. So
it's not the underpants gnomes from South Park? I thought it might be.
No, there was no singing as the drawer was opening.
Oh, darn. What are you going to do? Weird, but... the other thing I did do, we have some reviews again for today, and I have a comic book review and a TV review, and Greg also has a comic book review, which I'm actually curious to hear about because I also bought the graphic novel at Baltimore Comic Con, so I need to read it as well. But I picked up a recent new Image book because there's like a new Image number one series like every week. They're always starting something new that's interesting, and one that kind of caught my eye, and actually at first I thought it was a sci-fi like space series because it's called Eclipse. And like the picture on the cover is like an astronaut or what I thought was an astronaut, but it's actually not that. It takes place in the future, and basically the world is living underground. And there was some sort of solar flare that makes it impossible to live on the Earth's surface anymore, because once the sun comes out, like you basically will burn up. So you can go on the surface when it's dark outside, but during the day, everyone lives in underground. So the first issue really was just kind of establishing the world, but it's all kind of what one ends up being. It's almost a book just about a murder mystery. So they find out someone was murdered on the surface level, and they don't know how it was done because they have cameras, but it wasn't caught on camera, and it was on the surface. So if it was on the surface during the daytime, that person would need to have one of these special suits on, which is what I thought was the astronaut suit, but it's these suits that let them be on the surface during the daytime. So they're trying to, and there's very limited amount. So it's like they're trying to figure out exactly, okay, who killed this person, what's going on, and these threats are being laid against some people within the government, including senators or one of the government's like daughters. So they kind of lay this trap out to see if they can like bring this person to the light, as you would say, to see if they can capture him and see what's going on. So it kind of goes after this. And the character that's at the center of the book is one of the people who during the day goes and walks around the surface level looking for different things within a suit. He's not really a cop. He's not really, you know, he's just kind of like almost like a utility worker in a way. But we were really learning more about him. We don't get a great deal about who he is, what type of person he is, that much. Though we do see that he is watching a classic Super Bowl and watching the Giants beat the Patriots. So he's already in the running for one of my favorite Super Bowl, or one of my favorite comic book characters of the history of all time. Because he's already a Giants fan and he's got good taste in games. So he was actually watching, I think it's Super Bowl 42 when the Giants beat the Patriots. Yeah, the undefeated Patriots. Yeah, that was a good one.
That was a glorious moment.
It was. So I guess like, and he had like some sort of DVR system or something of that nature. But so it obviously exists in the world that we lived, but in the future. So I enjoyed it. So there's not a huge amount to go with in the first issue. It's just kind of establishing this world, this character, this situation, and there seems to be some sort of figure that the book ends with that you wonder, okay, what's going on here? But I overall enjoyed it. It's the artwork is pretty solid. I think the best thing about it is the coloring, because a lot of it taking place in the surface world, being able to really establish the difference between those living underground with this kind of scenic, overly bright surface level, and how they make that work. And there's some singed bodies that are shown. The creative team is relatively new to me. I've actually never read anything by the writer who is named Zachary Kaplan. I have never really read anything from him. This seems to be one of his first series, and the artist is Giovanni Tapano, who, again, I'm not really too familiar with anything he has done. Looking at his work, he's worked on a few things, nothing that is all that known. Like, he worked on a Lone Ranger comic and The Shadow and stuff like that. So it seems like this is kind of a young team trying to break out. And for a first issue, I think it's pretty good. I can't necessarily say run out and buy it. I think I need to read more. I need to kind of see how long it goes, if I think it's worthy of a trade. I think it'll probably read better within trade than it does issue to issue. But, you know, it's pretty good, enjoyable. I think it's not in the top echelon of Image currently, but I think it has potential. I like the world. I like its kind of setting. It's almost reminds me a lot of that movie Sunshine, Danny Boyle film, but on Earth. So I don't know. But
if you're going to pick up something new from Image, I would recommend for you, Dan, the Black Monday Murders.
Yes, by Jonathan Hickman.
Yes, that's
been amazing.
Yeah, it's a little bit over my head, though. I think it's very much the financial world and some kind of murders going on. It's just, and there's like this weird language, and it's very weird, interesting, creepy. It's a little over my head, but it's still keeping my attention.
Yeah, I've actually really enjoyed that a lot. The Black Monday Murders by Hickman. Hickman's like that. Like he reminds me of Christopher Nolan in the way where, I may not completely understand everything that he's going for, like something like Interstellar. I think it's going after a lot of different things, but I even just appreciate just the ride and the kind of what he's trying to go after, like just like the craftsmanship of what he's doing. And yeah, it's been really good. I've enjoyed that a lot. So
yes,
I've not. And it's a good pull. I did not know
that wasn't the thing I was going to review, though.
No, it was not. You were going to review a little bit of an older comic. It's still going now. Yes. I think the 21st issue just came out a few weeks ago, but you're reading, you just finished the first volume of Lazarus. So I'm
Lazarus.
Lazarus. How dare I? I get that incorrectly.
By Greg Rucka, some artist, Lark. I'm not really familiar with his work. His artwork is okay. Nothing to write home about, really. It's very dark. If you just flip through the pages really quick, it's a very dark, not a lot of bright colors or anything. It's very desaturated artwork, but that's just okay and average. I think it's the story that really hits home with me. You're really brought into this world, like, with no, like, you know nothing going in, and you're getting information little by little throughout the whole thing. It centers around this woman whose name is Forever.
Forever Young.
It's Forever Carlyle. And she is like this. She's the Lazarus. So she can't die, and they show her at the beginning getting shot, and she survives and comes back and kills the guys that essentially killed her. But then you find out that it's like this world that we wouldn't be familiar with. And even after I read it, I'm not sure like what happened to the world to get it to where it is in this. But there's it kind of reminds me of Old Man Logan, where the U.S. is kind of split up into like different parts that are like kind of owned by different families, and she's kind of like the bodyguard, the general of one of the families, and it's kind of the inner dealings of the family, and the family is really fucked up, and it seems like all the other families are just as messed up, and it's got this old school medieval ranking of like you've got your ruling family, and then you've got your like serfs, and then you've got like essentially your peasants, but they call them like wastes or something like that. So it's dealing with a lot of stuff in there, and it definitely leaves you with a lot of questions, and you're fed answers throughout the whole thing, but then also it does the great thing of also adding more questions to the entire time as you go on, which a really great story usually does. So I would recommend people read it. It's in graphic novel form, the first two volumes. And it's not especially expensive. It's $15 for a soft cover. It's kind of a thin soft cover, but I think it's kind of worth it. I got both my copies for $5 a piece at Baltimore Comic Con. So it was definitely worth the $5, I think. And I can't wait to hear what you have to say about it when you read it, Dan.
Yeah, I look forward to it. I too have the first two volumes. So I thought I've read a great deal about from Greg Rucka. It's something I need to fix. So I'm looking forward to it for sure. The other thing I did watch, I'm not going to spend a huge amount of time on it, but I don't know if you guys knew this or not. I know way back when we talked about movies and TV shows that are real or fake that are really coming out. Maybe one I should have brought up was the fact that they're doing a Lethal Weapon TV show starring Damon Wayans. And I watched the first episode, and I guess out of curiosity more so than anything, and the fact that I don't have cable, so looking for anything that might be watchable on basic television. And, you know, it looked like I like Damon Wayans and I like Lethal Weapon, and I thought maybe it could be good. And overall, I would say for the first pilot episode, it's actually not half bad. It takes the kind of the basic premise of Lethal Weapon, where you have an older cop and a younger, more mentally deranged or psychotic cop who maybe certainly has a very troubled past. You know, he's an ex-soldier.
That goes around calling women sugar tits.
Not yet. I'm waiting for that callback, but he has not done that yet. But his wife actually has passed away. So it keeps a lot of like the big highlighted moments of the first movie for the most part. And the very first scene really is a bank heist. And Riggs, who is played by Clayne Crawford, who I think is actually was quite good. I actually found him really enjoyable. He's not really doing what Mel Gibson did. It's a very different type of Riggs, which is fine. It opens up with this bank heist, and there's hostages, and he kind of walks in with pizza to show you how crazy he is and how, he's a loose cannon that can't be stopped. But it's fun. I enjoyed it. I'm worried that it's just going to be a glorified procedural, though, based upon the first episode, because there's a murder, and they have to figure out is it really a suicide or not, and it leads them down this path of just whatnot. So I kind of get bored with procedures very, very quickly. As long as I can kind of like the characters, and so far I do. I do like Damon Wayans. He works pretty well as a Roger Murtaugh, and like I mentioned, Clay Crawford, and they have pretty good chemistry. Is it anything like the TV show, a movie? No, it doesn't need to be made. No, but it's fine. It's enjoyable. There's much worse things out there, I would say. So it's not something I think I'm going to program my DVR that I don't have. But, I might, if it's on and I have nothing else to do, I might watch it or just wait for it to hit Netflix. So, but very lukewarm reviews for me this week. I guess that's the key. Well, all right. What we're going to do, though, is we're just going to take a quick break, and when we come back, get ready, because we are going to shower you with the power of positivity. And no, that's not a euphemism. We'll see you
next. Hey guys, this is JD from the In Session Film Podcast. Every week on our show, you can join my co-host Brendan and I as we review the latest films that's out in theaters. It also inspires us to discuss a top three list of some sort, and we have a lot of other fun movie discussions as well. It's always a blast. And we also have a show on Fridays called our Extra Film Podcast. This is a show that gives us the space to talk about the latest indies and art films and other classics that we normally just don't get to talk about on our main show. You can find our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, SoundCloud, TuneIn Radio, Player FM, and more. In fact, you can just see everything about us, including our social medias, at InSessionFilm.com. So join us every week. We'd absolutely love to have you.
Everyone, then good news, everyone.
All right, and welcome back. Yes, today we are here to make you feel better, to make you feel better about the world that you live in. We have scoured the world of the internet. We have looked through the world of television news. We have checked even the radio and maybe even read a newspaper to find some positive news stories that exist, some good things to hear about. So what we're going to do today, we're going to talk about them, bring them up to you. And you know, make you walk to maybe put a smile on that face, as a psychotic man dressed as a clown once said. But Chuck, maybe we'll start with you, and I guess I'll throw it to you. And so what story are you starting with us off today?
Well, this is a story of a young man in Pennsylvania who donated his football skills to a team, and they got utterly destroyed. it was very, very nice of him to go in and lose. No, in all seriousness.
Do you yell at the quarterback every time? It's like, dude, I was open. I was open every day.
It was funny. The one other guy on our team, the other team was telling him, man, you're open every time. He doesn't even see you. But, you know, it's funny when the other team's telling you that. But.
Yeah.
So anyway, my story is about a 14-year-old boy from Louisville, Kentucky. His name is Laron Tunstall. And the story is that he sort of grew up and he had like a rough childhood and grew up in a really rough neighborhood and used to get into a lot of fights and was a very disrespectful kid and stuff like that. And he kind of got turned around when he joined this local charitable organization called Perp Me. What they do is they kind of go around and pass out food to the needy and different tasks like that. Everything that they can do to help people, to kind of help people in the neighborhood, some of the homeless people on the streets and stuff like that. So this young man sort of got taken in by the guy that runs this organization, and priorities turned around and everything, and he really started enjoying working for this organization. So the one day he was taking food to some people, and he noticed the one guy's shoes were in terrible condition. Like, he literally had like almost no sole left on his shoe and everything. And Laron, just the day before, I believe, had just bought a brand new pair of Nike Air Jordans. Being a teenage boy, and you know, of course, like myself, a big Jordan fan and everything, I'm sure he was absolutely tickled to have those, and probably.
How big of a Jordan fan is he, though, considering the fact that like he probably knows Jordan mostly from underwear commercials? You know what I mean?
Yeah, or else those crying Jordan memes.
Exactly.
He's probably like, oh, that's the guy from the meme. So yeah.
But yeah, I get. But yeah, yeah. Though his shoes are still relatively popular. So
yeah. So I'm sure, you know, I'm sure he really loved these sneakers. It was something that he got to buy for himself, and he only had them literally for a day. And when he met this man when he was passing food out, this guy, you know, for all intents and purposes, had no shoes. Like, they were so worn out, they were in terrible condition. So Laron actually took his brand new Nike Air Jordans and gave them to him.
Wow.
For free, along with the other things that they were passing out and everything, and kind of got a picture with the guy and everything. And it was a pretty neat moment. So very inspiring story for young people.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's pretty cool for sure. I mean, I know kids love their sneakers. I actually was watching like a documentary or a news story just about like kids who are really into like the sneaker game. They have like sneaker conventions they go to, and like it's about like swapping sneakers and trying to like get the best kind you can get. So a lot of work often goes into getting those nice sneakers. And Jordans are no joke. They're like $200-$300 sneakers. So
yeah,
it's very, very nice of them.
Yeah. And it's just like, and it's not like, you know, to focus on the monetary value, but it's like, this is something that this kid like loved, and he literally just got them the day before. And to be able to give them up like that to a complete stranger who, you know, nothing about, you know, it's very impressive for a 14-year-old to make a decision like that and do something like that. I was very impressed, and kind of restores your faith in humanity a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. You always hear about the youth today. Well, I guess some of the youth today is pretty cool.
Right.
Very nice. Very nice. See, we're already starting off strong, giving shoes to the homeless. So there you go. Our Good Samaritan for the day makes me feel like a crappy person for sure. So maybe this will backfire, just make you feel like an awful person. I don't know. That's not the intention, but we'll see. Greg, moving on over to you. What new story you got for us today?
By the way, we should start this off with the doc going, "Good news, everyone!" But my story is not as heartwarming as Chuck's, I'm afraid. But it's good news if you're a beer lover and history lover and lover of America, because they are brewing, apparently, a beer based off of a recipe that George Washington wrote.
Interesting. It's,
yeah.
That's a lie.
The beer is called the Colonial Ale.
Does it have any cherries in it?
No. It was created by the Blue Point Brewery in Patchogue, and it was formed by President George Washington. He was apparently an avid beer drinker and brewer. And let's see, it says, let me find the part in the article where it gives some of the ingredients. Oh, and for the beer, they used some corn, some oats, some wheat, as well as some white molasses syrup. So that sounds very interesting.
And two parts wooden teeth.
And they only brewed about 30 barrels of the beer. And apparently the instructions, it was 260 years old from a journal that he wrote in one of his military journals, apparently. So I thought that was kind of cool, being a big history fan, as I know Dan is, and as being and myself, and being a big beer fan. So I'd actually like to go find that beer.
That's interesting. It's kind of funny, though. It's like middle of battle, still thinking about, all right. But seriously, though, beer, how can you make this? That's pretty cool. Though it would really suck if it was just really awful, but no one was willing to tell him that because he's George Washington. It's like, yeah, George, it's tasty. It's super tasty. Yeah,
it's so good.
Oh my god.
Samuel Adams someplace is like, you know, mine's not good enough. Is I got to go to George Washington, but whatever. So for Chuck, you had a story in Pennsylvania. I'm actually going to go around my neck of the woods in College Park, Maryland. And yeah, I don't know. For those that drove the bus, took a bus to school every day, when you occasionally have those drills where you had to try to get out of the bus, the emergency exit way in the back, and like you would have them every so often just to prove that you can get out of the bus if it was ever on fire. And I personally never really took them all that seriously. It was like, whatever, what's the big deal? But recently in College Park, Maryland, like I mentioned, this actually became the reality. 26 children from Glenwell Woods Elementary School were on a bus when the blaze started, apparently originating near the rear wheels, the driver said. She was able to remain calm throughout the ordeal and get them out all safe. And I'll put maybe the pictures of the bus on the website, or maybe the link to the news story. But looking at the bus, it is charred out. Like, it is completely gone. Doesn't really say what started the fire, which is also kind of concerning when there's just a fire in the rear of your vehicle, and that's just kind of happens. But, you know, she acted quickly. And, you know, bus drivers aren't paid a lot of money. They're just kind of doing it. They have to deal with kids who yell all the time. And she was able to remain calm and really save the lives of 20 kids by, you know, calmly getting them off the bus and following all those crazy directions that, you know, those drills and those fire safety drills that apparently paid off. So it's good to see that, you know, kudos to her and kudos to fire safety, I guess.
And when authorities interviewed Jonathan Kent, asked him if she should have let them die, he said, maybe.
Nice. That's funny.
Uh-huh. Good old Man of Steel.
Apparently, so yeah, her parents better than Superman's, at least in Man of Steel. So, yeah.
Not hard to do. But.
No, it is not. Don't be a dick. That's all he had to do. He could have done that, but he didn't. Yeah. All right. Well, Chuck, you started off well with young teenager giving his shoes to the homeless. What else you got for us for today?
I have another another story about a teenager. I'm all about the kids today. It's all about the next generation passing on the goodness. So this one's a 19-year-old girl from Michigan. Turns out she enters a contest for Little Caesar's pizza, right? She wins the contest. She gets basically free pizza for a year. It's like, I don't know, $500 worth of pizza, I think it said. And it works out to about, you know, depending on much pizza you eat, it's about a year's worth of free pizza for the average person. So she didn't start taking advantage of it. She actually went out and started looking for charities around Michigan and sort of around her home city of Detroit and stuff. So she ended up finding a good homeless shelter called the Covenant House, Michigan. And it was for homeless youth, like for like ages 18 to 24. And she actually donated all of her, you know, pizza entitlement to that house. And everybody was extremely happy because everyone obviously loves pizza and it's like the best thing ever. So, but yeah, they were so thrilled with her donation that they actually threw a separate pizza party, like to try to bring in like more people and raise more awareness and stuff like that. So you had people trying to kind of like match what she did and stuff. So it just turned into this really cool thing. So very, very inspiring story.
Yeah, that, I actually saw that. I had that listed on one of the stories I was going to cover too. That's pretty cool though. Part of me did wonder if it wasn't Little Caesars and maybe a better pizza place, do you think she would have done it? Like if it was Pizza Hut or Papa John's, do you think she would have been like, I don't know. Little Caesars, I can give up. I mean, they're okay, yes, but I'm not missing much.
Papa John's is tough to give up for me. I don't know.
Yeah. But yeah.
Little Caesars, for whatever reason, I don't think it's that great. I mean, it's okay in a pinch, I guess, but
I honestly, like, I don't even remember the last time I ever had Little Caesars, to be honest with you. Like, it's been a long time. And it's not very enticing when their commercial basically just brags about the fact that their pizza is warm. It's like, you can come and get a warm pizza. It's like, that's expected.
And it's like, you could do that 60 years ago, man. That's not that impressive.
Yeah. But that, yeah, that's...
Before I wrap up, I should say her name, because a good thing to go recognize. Her name is Hannah Spooner, 19-year-old Hannah Spooner. So
nice. Yeah, that is pretty kick-ass. I mean, I'll be honest, like if I want a year's supply of pizza, I don't think I would do that. And I now, again, feel like an awful person for not doing that, but that's very cool. All right, Greg, moving on over to you. Do you have any more news of the good for us?
Yes, I do. I have one about animals. Nice. And humans saving those animals. Because, you know, I have a puppy dog, and so ever since I have had her, I'm more concerned about animals than I am humans. During the movie I Am Legend, I was more concerned about the dog and more torn up about that dog scene than any of the humans getting bitten or turned into a vampire zombie thing, whatever the hell they were supposed to be.
That dog scene is pretty tough to witness.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I'm like, anytime there's like a dog in a movie, I'm like, please don't let anything happen to that dog. Please don't let anything happen to that dog. But this story actually has to do with a horse. This actually takes place, where is it? Flagler County. And the rescuers were the Flagler Fire Rescue and the St. John's County Fire Rescue. And they apparently, this poor horse fell down into this old septic system. It was stuck up into her neck in the septic system. And it was covered with fiberglass. And her owner said, I love her so much. We have such a close bond. Her name is Mercy. God gave me mercy and blessed me with her. Several agencies responded, and they were able to cut off portions of the tank covering up the horse and gained access to her. They had to sedate her, but she was safely removed from the tank after 2 hours of work. And she was only suffered from minor cuts and bruises, and she is totally expected to be okay. So that's very cool that we have teams of people that go in and rescue horses, and not just be like, oh, it's just a horse, bam, shooter, and then take out the horse, and actually go through all that effort for an animal.
Yeah, that's all, good to hear for sure. There's a lot of great animal charities out there, but I'm always for saving animals. That's I guess I don't really have it's not necessarily animal related, but it is farm related in a sense, and it's regarding an NFL player who honestly I never heard of before the story, but maybe I should have because he was so NFL player Jason Brown, who was at one point the highest played center in the NFL. He played for the St. Louis Rams, but he recently retired in 2012. He was only 29 years old, which is relatively young for a football player. He had the opportunity probably to keep playing if he wanted to, but he decided to walk away from the game, which is actually becoming more and more of a common thing to see players walk away relatively young. With everything going on, but it doesn't necessarily say if it was for health concerns or not, but what he ended up doing, this guy who's obviously earned millions of dollars throughout his career as an NFL player, he learned how to grow plants through YouTube. He kind of learned how to grow sweet potatoes and other vegetables and how to kind of make his own farm. It was all self-taught through YouTube, which is kind of insane when you think about it, that back in the day, all the work people would do, and now we can just watch some dude on YouTube and learn. I guess it was maybe an Amish channel. That must have been it. They Amish have the best farming YouTube channel.
They also showed him how to raise the barn.
Exactly. And grow the beard. That's the key point. But beyond just the fact that he's this guy who left football to become a farmer, it's what he's using the farm for, and he's actually donating all the food, for the sweet potatoes, the vegetables, to different food shelters. So this guy who was playing NFL on Sundays has now dedicated his life to basically growing food for the less fortunate. So that's a pretty awesome thing to do, where he's taking his time and effort. A lot of players give money and things like that, and that's great. That's not taking anything away from them, but actually the amount of time and effort it takes to do what he's doing is relatively impressive in considering, like, he could be, making millions of dollars playing a game. He's doing something like this. So it's major kudos to him, Jason Brown. Though I do wonder if it's just because he didn't want to play for Jeff Fisher anymore and under the LA Rams after seeing what they did the last two weeks in a row. I think he might have made the right choice. So I don't know. But yeah, so that's pretty awesome to see. I don't know if you guys have any more news stories you wanted to tackle, anything you wanted to bring up?
I had one more.
Alrighty.
Like I mentioned, sticking with the kid theme. However, this one is much younger. This is a little boy that's 5 years old. His name is William Everts Jr. He's from New Jersey. And he earned some money from his parents by doing his chores and everything like that, sort of got an allowance and stuff like that. And Kindness Day was coming up on August 15th. So obviously we're looking at about a month and a half ago. And William had seen a video on YouTube of some people helping out. And so he kind of felt inspired to do something like that. So he took his allowance and he bought a bunch of sandwiches and took them to the local police department for lunches for all the policemen. Oh, and wow. That's really cool for a 5-year-old to do that. But that wasn't all he did. He did a lot more with his allowance. He must have got a pretty good allowance.
I was going to say, man.
I think this kid makes more than me, honestly. Because he also did... let's see, he donated school supplies and toys to a domestic violence shelter. Jeez. He gave food to an animal shelter. And he just donated.
He's hitting all of the things, man.
Yeah. And then he helped another family gave them $25 to help with daycare costs.
Yeah.
So he was just covering the whole spectrum there. He was being a real good kid. So William
also donated money to the Oakland Raiders because they really could use it to get a better team.
He's really trying to get in there with Santa. He's just like, man, like I need to be on the good list this year. I'm gonna go heavy. The first week is, you know, go heavy and do all this great thing, so like I can kind of coast for the rest of the year.
Right. but the cool thing is one thing I wanted to mention was, you know, he sort of got this idea and he got inspired from a YouTube video of people helping homeless people. So, you know, just kind of keep in mind, like, how much of a sponge young kids are and how much they are influenced by what we as adults do in everyday life. So, you know, if we do nice things helping other people, our next generations are going to want to copy that and do the same thing. And on the flip side, if we act like total morons and idiots and be uncivilized, then they're going to copy those things as well. So just some kind of food for thought there.
But yeah, that's definitely for sure. I mean, obviously, you know, if a kid's doing that, his parents are probably doing something right beyond the fact that they're able to give their kid a lot of money for his allowance. So
I need to work for this family. I need to, like, you know, vacuuming their rugs and doing their dishes and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. But that, I mean, it does certainly have to take some effort on his part to kind of go out and do that and come up with those ideas. And that's very cool. Because you always hear, like, you know, so much complaints about the youth of today. That's always a thing, right, with the youth of today. And the fact that we're getting good news stories from YouTube, which is usually like a community of evilness, and like the comment section on YouTube is like where politeness goes to die. But
yeah,
seeing that some, there could be some good things in there too, if you look hard enough, I guess. So very cool.
And apparently his parents have the appropriate lock set on the computer, so he's watching the actual good videos on there or something.
yeah, it must be. Very cool. That's awesome. Very awesome. So I had one more story, and I did want to end on this because I did talk about a lot of these, like, grandiose, pretty big things. This ex-NFL player making a farm and this lady saving people from a burning bus, almost like movie-ass big events that are happening. And they're not necessarily things that, like, you know, you can do on an everyday basis. You don't either have those resources, or you're not going to walk by a burning bus every day unless your life's an action movie or something like that. Or if you're Michael Bay is your neighbor, then you probably do see a lot of burning buses. But so I wanted to end with more of a smaller gesture, something that was just kind of sweet and maybe would have gone unnoticed if someone just didn't record it. And I don't know if you guys saw this, but there's not much to the story, but apparently there was a mother on a plane and she had a young child as well as a baby who was being very cranky, crying, and just inconsolable, and she was obviously super, super stressed out about it. And what ended up happening, and I think obviously on airplanes people often would get, like, frustrated and get angry with this person because it's like, why can't you be a better parent, like, why can't you watch your kids? You see people's reaction with that type of thing, and, you know, and sometimes it's maybe legitimate. Sometimes, you know, kids will cry, and there's, you know, she seemed very stressed and kind of like things weren't going her way. So I guess what the video captures is just a man, an old who never met her before, didn't know who she was, just walks over, offers assistance, and starts basically walking back and forth on the airplane just to try to console the young baby. I'm assuming he asked for permission. He didn't just, like, snatch the baby, because that wouldn't be news of the good. That would be kidnapping. So I'm assuming he asked for permission, but you just see this kind of this photo of into this guy just helping out this person. Just, you know, like Chuck mentioned, just this small act of kindness, like sponges. Like, you know, obviously people in that were able to kind of experience that. And the guy himself, or the person, they didn't necessarily even broadcast this. It was done by someone who was on the plane as well and was showing a video of it. And it's just kind of a sweet little thing. You know, the kindness of strangers, as they say. And, you know, it just, I think it was a cool thing to say, where you see, like, often people, like, you, this idea where people can't get along, or yeah, the idea of that old idea of it takes a village to raise a child. Sometimes that village is mobile, and seeing someone kind of step up and do that's really cool. So I feel like I should just get the Full House music that they would have at the end of each episode and play that in the background. what we learned.
You got
today.
It, dude.
Yeah, yeah. Cut it out. Yeah. Some good news, some positive vibes. You know, you gotta send them out in some ways. But considering the climate that we live in, I don't know. But that's all the news stories that we have. There's a plenty of good news stories out there, and actually, what I'll do is I'll throw them on the website at geekcastreair.com. Throw links in there. So if you just like need a pick me up, go there, check some things out, and make you feel better. Including a story about the fact that dolphins actually talk to each other and have a language. So they might be planning. They might be planning. We don't know. But anything
We're
else?
Planning
you guys
how to beat the Patriots next time.
Or at least the Browns. So maybe start with the Browns.
Yes.
All righty. Anything you guys want to bring up before we bring this episode to a close?
Also, good news. If you're a bighorn dog like me, but I'm not interested, Angelina Jolie is single now. Well, gonna be single very soon. So and, there you go.
And Brad Pitt. And Brad Pitt. He's also
for all the ladies out there.
Yeah. So
if totally I see not one... interested in her.
I saw like it was a news article. I don't know what website I was on. It was like one of those like, you know, things in the corner, which is some ad. It's like, click here to learn everything you need to know about the Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt divorce. I'm like, I don't need to know any of it. I'm okay.
Yeah, I'm kind of done with the whole situation. I've heard way too much that I don't need to hear.
Yeah, I was actually like, I was watching the morning news and they were like talking about it like in full force. I'm like, I just want weather and traffic. That's all you need to give me. That's all I need to know what I need to wear and where I need to drive. That's why I come to you for. Give me that, and then I'm good. I don't need to know about what Angelina Jolie is doing. I don't really care.
I didn't hear any of the details of it, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, apparently, Chuck, Angelina
okay,
does not like
this
how
week. Thanks for tuning
Brad
in.
Is raising the children.
Apparently, Angelina Jolie talked about Fight Club, and that was it. the only sad thing is that we won't get the Mr. and Mrs. Smith sequel. But that'll bring today's episode to a close. If you want to get in contact with us, there are a ton of different ways you can email us. Have feedback at geekcast3.com. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. Just search Talking in Circles, GCRN. You guys are also on Twitter. What are your Twitter names?
I am at Heroic Age Chuck.
I am at The Create Ford.
And I am at Movie Revolt. But that'll be it for this week. We'll be back next week. Same time, same channel, same podcast feed. But for now,
this has been Chuck.
This has been Greg, or still Typhoid Mary.
Typhoid Mary, back from the revenge. That's not how things go. And this has been Dan, and we've been talking in circles. We'll see you next week. Back from the revenge. That's not how.
I love how I punctuated it with the cough at the end.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's got to be better than all the leprechaun sequels.
Back. I don't know. Back
all
to the Hood
those.
Is a pretty good one. Back to the Hood 2. Did he go to space?
Yeah, he also went to space. Yes. I don't think I've seen that one.
Just like Jay, did he meet Jason that day? Or?
Oh, that's a good one. Jason versus Freddy versus Leprechaun.
We gotta do something for Halloween. Some kind of a scary movie thing or something.
I'll just retell my story about the drawer going in and out a couple times.
Yeah, we got enough stories about your drawers. Right?